Well, lads, you're back in England now. It's rather cold for you, considering you've just come up from Asia and Australia, where it's much warmer at this time of year, where you've been busy, A, finishing up the album, and also doing some dates in preparation for England.
That's right.
Nick?
Yeah, it's good to be back, though. I mean, I don't mind the cold, actually. I'm quite used to it. I've lived in it for 21 years now, so it's quite pleasant to be back.
Well, I don't like the cold. I said I don't like the cold, but I do like the people. I do like the atmosphere here, and I'm damn glad to be back as well.
It's been a magnificent year for Duran Duran in many ways. You've been on the front pages of our national papers. They, in a way, paralleled you to the Beatlemania of the 60s. Duranmania, they called it. When you arrived back in England after having started the album in Montserrat, you came back to an amazing reception. How do you feel about that, you know, being in the papers all the time, the gossip columns, and being the brunt of criticism at times as well?
I think it's okay, because really our profile when we're playing concerts and things is obviously going to be higher, because everybody knows where we are and everybody wants to come and have a look and have a chat and everything in the newspapers at that stage. But when we're not playing concerts and things, it's not so much like that. It's not like we're plastered all over the papers every day of the year. I think it's only really when we're working, so it's not so bad.
Hey, I mean, we're supposed to be getting the papers, we're paid for it.
Yeah, I'd be worried if we didn't get any.
Now, what was interesting, though, about Duran Duran, and it was unusual, unique in a way, was that you did manage to keep that publicity going even while you were away. You kept the interest up, didn't you? You kept your fans interested in you, rather than disappearing, like the Police did when they did the last album, Synchronicity.
I don't know about that, we weren't here.
No, he's right, we weren't here, so we don't know how we would do. Carry on with what you were saying.
Now, you came over principally in the summer to do the Prince's Trust Rock Gala, and that was one way for you to keep the interest up. It was also a very good occasion for you to do something for charity, to help people.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. It was a great, it was absolutely superb evening. It's very flattering to be asked to do something like that. And it was a chance for us to come back and play in front of the people who'd been missing us for a while.
Well, now you are back. You're planning to do... it's not a massive British tour as such, is it? You're doing bigger venues than you've done in the past.
Well, you see, what happened really was we made the decision this time to move from the sort of 2,500-seater concert halls into the slightly larger sort of 8,000-10,000-seaters. Because the demand for tickets was so large last time. I mean, we did about 6 nights at Hammersmith Odeon last time, and we could have gone on and done more. And we felt that it was better to play larger places and enable more people to actually come and see us than play a few nights in a small place and a lot of people be disappointed. So that's really why we've moved to the large ones. That doesn't mean we won't be doing any smaller concerts again, though.
Yeah, I mean, also, it gives us the room to get the kind of show together that we really want to put on stage. If you play in big places, you get a huge stage. You can run about all over the place. And you can put ridiculously large sets up and have all the lights you want. It's good.
What is the show in 83, 84 going to be like for Duran Duran? Is it vastly different to the last tour that you did?
I wouldn't say it's vastly different, because, I mean, obviously we're going to be playing a lot of the songs that we were playing in 1982. But it's certainly a lot more exciting. It's more dynamic,
yeah,
I think.
I think the show has actually grown from being, you see, it used to be an hour, then it grew to about an hour and 15 minutes for the last year. Now it's a sort of proper concert as opposed to just another show. It actually lasts for about an hour and 45 minutes, and there's a lot of new stuff in it as well. And there's some slower numbers in the set this time. Before, I think we've tended to do a lot of sort of middle pace and faster songs throughout most of the set. But now we've actually paced it a lot better, and there's a whole variety of all sorts of songs. We opened in Australia, in fact, about 3 weeks ago, and we finished the Australian tour, which was very successful. And we're really pleased now and looking forward to getting on with the English one.
Now, you've brought an Australian band along with you to support you on the tour, I understand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a band we noticed while we were over there called Australian Crawl. In fact, they had a number one record over there with a song called Reckless, which is a good song. And they hadn't had their record released anywhere else in the world.
I don't think they were going to have it released actually until, you know, we said, come on chaps, you know, it's worth more than that. Come on tour with us and see if you can do something with it, because it is a very good song. I don't know if you've heard it, but you certainly will be hearing something of it.
Now, Australia has come into the forefront of music, pop music that is, over the last couple of years. Firstly, we've seen several Australian bands, Men at Work and Ice House in particular, and now what's happening is, in reverse, our groups and performing artists like yourselves and David Bowie are going over there either to record albums, do videos, or to perform there. What's the interest in Australia?
I think there's a lot of interest. My personal major interest in the place is that when you go there, you feel a real growing sense. The whole place feels like there's a lot of things that are just starting to happen. And since the last time we went there, about 2 years ago, an awful lot of things have changed there. It's really becoming a very special city. I think because they were so late growing up, they've managed to take a lot of the good points from other good cities like London and New York and avoid a lot of the bad points. And it's actually, I mean, the weather's really good there, the environment's good, the people are nice there. It's a very sort of happening place.
Yeah, I mean, apart from the fact that everybody I know is a closet kangaroo anyway.
Yeah, you know, they've got more kangaroos than people there.
Yeah,
I would believe it. It's now, true. The reason why you were in there, most importantly, was to mix down the third Duran Duran album now, yeah, called Seven and the Ragged Tiger. Where's the title from?
And the title is from, I don't know, we were sitting up late at night in this little sort of thing and sort of thinking about album titles and that, and we had a song going which was kind of calypso-y type song at the time, and I just listening to the rhythms of it came up with the title something in the Ragged Tiger, and sort of like, which is sort of Roland and the Ragged Tiger, running with a Ragged Tiger, and suddenly someone said Seven. I think it was Ian actually. I thought Seven and the Ragged Tiger. Yeah, Seven and the Ragged Tiger. And it became the title of one of the songs which is going to be on the album. That, since then, that's been changed. The song has developed into a song called The Seventh Stranger. But we kept the title because it sounded so interesting. It sort of sounds like an adventure story.
First single off the album, Union of the Snake, has been in and out of the British charts now. Mm-hmm. How do you feel about that? Objectively, you know, it didn't get to number one. It did make a good point,
yeah,
into the top 10.
I feel it's the third biggest hit we've ever had. It was a bit more obscure, I guess, in some respects than some of our previous material. Certainly not as obvious as the one which went to number one here, Something I Should Know. It's actually my favourite single we've released to date. In fact, what it did was it sold an awful lot of copies in the first week, and the competition was very tough up top. And then, obviously, the next week, its sales, because it sold so many, weren't as high. But I certainly don't regard it as a failure. I think it was a big hit for us. And every song you make can't really go to number one anyway. If that one had gone straight in at number one,
just imagine what the crash would have been like when the next one didn't.
Exactly.
You know.
Yeah.
You mentioned, you know, maybe disappointment is not the right word, but you know, when a band like yourselves are so successful and worldwide success at that, I wonder if it's difficult for you to come to terms with not necessarily always having a number one, not necessarily always having the kind of chart position.
I think we'd be real spoilt little brats if we couldn't come to terms with something like that. I mean, I also do think that one of the songs that was above us, for example, the Lionel Richie song, I mean, it's a great song anyway. I mean, it was very good. I think that as long as we keep having hits, I don't mind if one of them's number 15 and one of them's number 10 and one of them's number 1 and another one's number 3. I was very happy with the Union of the Snake.
Well, no trouble, of course, with the album. Straight in at number 1, so that's good, isn't it? Now, what plans have you got for a second single? Which one will that be?
But I think we'll choose the song called New Moon on Monday, because it's the best song on the album. But I think I really like that song, and it's kind of, it'll come out after Christmas, and it's kind of a song for the new year, New Moon on Monday, that's the one.
Well, it sounds like Duran are in good health and good shape, ready for a busy 84, looking forward to it, I'm sure. What other plans have you got, aside from the short tour you're doing of Britain? Are you going abroad?
Oh, wait, as soon as we finish the British tour, we shall be going to Japan, and from there we'll be going to America, doing a two-month tour of the States. And after we've finished that, we may be doing some dates in Europe, or we may be going to China. Mm. We may be making a film. Yeah. We may be going off to space. We could even start opening wine bars. Strike that.
Well, the world's certainly your oyster at the moment. I guess you can do pretty much whatever you want to with it at the moment.
If the world is your oyster, you've just got to find the little pearl that's hidden away.
Nick, what's your view on life like that?
I just try to take things in my stride, actually. I'm not that keen on oysters, but there again, I do eat them occasionally.